Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness, and led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this preserved portion of Scripture. And thank you, dear Lord, that we're able to hold within our hands the very words of God. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would treat them with great respect and listen and learn from them, knowing that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I pray, Lord, that we would open our hearts to the Bible. Thank you for the events, the, I think, miraculous events that led up to the delivering of this message and what you allowed me personally to be blessed with. And then, Lord, may I share that blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Tuesday morning, me and my wife had to make a quick trip to Terre Haute to pick up a couple things. And so our schedule worked so that we could drive up together and spend a little time and get a few things. On our way up to Terre Haute, as we were traveling across 246, and so those of you that are familiar with the area, we take the back roads from our house north of Jasonville over to 246, go through Lewis, and then get on that stretch of 246 that runs all the way over to 41. As we crossed, again, those of you that know that road, where the mine crossings are, we got past that, was continuing on west a little ways, probably about another mile, maybe less. And I look over on my right, and there's a huge tree that for the most part is dead, but some of it is alive, most of it is dead. And I look up in the branches of this huge tree, and I see two gigantic birds. At first, I thought that they were probably a turkey buzzard or something like that. But as we got closer to it, I realized that what I was looking at was something that I've rarely seen in my years in Indiana. There was a bald eagle up there and a juvenile bald eagle. And so we slowed down, of course, and began to be excited and to just praise the Lord for the opportunity to see something like that. Isn't that exciting that in southern Indiana we're now getting to the point where they're becoming more and more common for somebody to see a bald eagle? And of course, that is a symbol of our nation. Very majestic bird, very beautiful bird. Well, I went past it before I could get stopped, turned around, came back thinking, I hope I don't cause it to fly off. We were able to pull by the side of the road, and I pulled out my phone and got the camera working after 10 minutes of trying to figure out how it works. Handed it to my wife. She got it working for me and zoomed in, and then I took several pictures with her phone of this, and I told Brother Klein, I'd really like to show you the picture of what I was blessed to see. There they are, right there. Isn't that something? It's almost as if they were posing to be photographed. I thought that these maybe were, I didn't know a lot about the situation, didn't know a lot about bald eagles. And you can see on the right-hand side, very obviously, you see the familiar white head of the bald eagle, the golden beak. If it was in color or a better picture, you could see the golden beak. The one on the left-hand side is actually a juvenile bald eagle. I thought maybe one was male, one was female, that type of thing. But both the male and female, when they're mature, have the white head. What they the juveniles, when I say juveniles, it takes about 5 years for their head to grow completely white. If we could get a close-up, and we can't, you can't see from that distance, there is some white in that head. And so we're looking at a full-grown, five-year-old or older bald eagle on the right-hand side, and then one that's probably somewhere 2 or 3 years old on the left-hand side. What a sight. And we got excited, was able to take the pictures, and then I went down through my phone and was sending the pictures to people that were in my phone, and which is always great when you're driving. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. But we wanted to show folks and share the blessing of it, because I'm not going to take questions or anything right now about that. I'll talk to you afterwards. But anyway, what a blessing, and a blessing to be able to show that to folks and share the word on that. And of course, it got my heart kind of heading down a spiritual path. One of the things when I see an eagle that I'm always reminded of is my father. My dad enjoyed collecting eagles. And I mean, there was a point in time where if you went in his office, literally he had scores of eagles, little statues and pictures and whatnot in his office, because the people of Blessed Hope Baptist Church found out that he liked eagles and they would buy him this or buy him that. I think one of the sweetest things he did in his latter years is he came to me with a box of some of the smaller statues of the eagles, and he had a whole box of, I don't know, it was 20, 25 in there probably, and he said, "Would you put these in the merit sale? And I think maybe some of the children would like to have maybe some of Pastor Ross's eagles." And I'll be honest with you, I was going to tell him that I was going to put it in the merit sale and then keep them for myself, but there's something about lying and the devil and all of that that I didn't think I probably ought to get involved with there. And I did. We took them out, put them in the merit cell several years ago. And I have no doubt there's young people that were kids back then that have somewhere in your room a little eagle that used to belong to Pastor Ross. And I thought, what a kind way of him to share a little bit of himself with our young people and give them something that I'm not sure they maybe realized the value of then, but perhaps now they realize the value of having that. But I like the great eagle verses of the Bible. I got my concordance out and began to search through. And let me just read you some of the great, what I call the great eagle verses. Moses in Exodus chapter 19. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23, when David was eulogizing Saul and Jonathan, he said this: "Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions." In the beautiful Psalm 103, we read these words: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." In Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 17, we have a warning, and God uses the eagle to warn young people of the importance of showing proper respect to their parents. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it." Young people, I'd take that very seriously if I was you here this morning. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 18. Think about this. This is God saying this, God's words. "There be three things that are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not." And the first one he lists here is the way of an eagle in the air. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Bible talks about the battle of Armageddon. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." And of course, the one that probably came to your mind first of all, the beautiful eagle verse of Isaiah chapter 40. "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Of all of the eagle verses I've selected for our sermon this morning, and by the way, I've taken the first three words of verse number 11 as the title of the message, "As an eagle," as an eagle. In verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness and led him about. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with them. And I got fascinated by this verse. I'd already been doing some research just for my own curiosity about the eagle, and I found this wonderful likeness that God uses where he compares himself to an eagle, and he says, as an eagle does these things, so I will do these things for my people. Some folks would stand and say, preacher, you can't apply this portion of scripture to us today because he's speaking to the country of Israel. And I would say to you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And let me say this, folks, God has adopted us into his family. We are not just his people, we are his children. And God certainly has a special place in his heart for the nation of Israel. But I think we're not out of bounds at all to take this portion of scripture and say, this is the character of God, and this is how God deals with those whom he truly loves and has taken custodial care of. I got curious about this. Did you notice the natural outline found in that verse? You guys that preach from time to time, did you pick it up right away? As an eagle, what's the eagle do? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, point number one. Fluttereth over her young, point number two. Spreadeth abroad her wings, point number three. Taketh them, beareth them on her wings, point number four. And so we'll take these 4 points and learn a little bit about our great and wonderful Heavenly Father. What does God do in our lives, preacher, that's similar to what the eagle would do? Number one, God stirs up the nest. God stirs up the nest. Now this is comes from a Hebrew word. This word stirs comes from a Hebrew word that means to cause the opening of the eyes, to wake or awaken, to lift up, to raise up, to stir up. God from time to time wakes us up. He stirs up the nest. I want you to picture in your mind, if you will, and you may not have seen an eagle do this, but you've seen the robins in your backyard do this, and here comes the mother robin in, and perhaps she has been gone for some time getting food, and the baby birds are in the nest. And they've fallen asleep. She's been gone. They've fallen asleep. They're slumbering. They're quiet. But as soon as she comes landing on the nest, boy, here they come. And all of a sudden, that which is asleep is awakened. And boy, they are chirping and they open their mouths and they're hungry and they're waiting for food. And she feeds them what she has. And after a few minutes of brooding over them, she flies to get more. And for a while, they scream and they holler. And they're hungry for her presence. And they're missing her. But what happens if you just wait a few minutes? Pretty soon, they get quiet again. And pretty soon, they fall asleep again. And you know what? Until the mother robin comes back, they don't make a peep. They just stay there sleeping. Now, folks, let me say this, folks. There's a picture here, something that we need to learn as Christians. Because you know what our natural tendency is? Our natural tendency is to forget God's presence. And our natural tendency is to get a little too comfortable and a little too relaxed. Matter of fact, we kind of like life that way. I don't want any bumps in the road, preacher. I don't want any trials. I don't want any tribulations. I just want smooth seas and smooth sailing. I don't want storms. I don't want to have to exert myself. But the only problem with that is God does not and has not called a people to slumber and sleep. He's called us to do his will, to awaken and to perform his will while we're here on earth. So when things, watch this, when things get too comfortable, sometimes God just stirs up the nest. He just comes along and stirs up the nest. One of the things that God will do from time to time when he sees that we're too comfortable, come on now, too satisfied, too settled, too restful, God stirs up the nest. Now think about the nest. The nest can represent here our home, every one of our individual homes. I don't think there's a dad and a mom that could stand up and say, preacher, you know what, maybe once or twice or more in the year of 2013, God's come in and stirred the nest up a little bit. You know what he wants to do? He wants us to not forget his presence. He doesn't want us to forget how much we need him. He doesn't want us to get too comfortable. Listen, folks, if things go too well for too long, you know what? We feel like we don't need God. So every once in a while, something happens and God stirs the nest up a little bit. He causes a little bit of commotion. He causes a little bit of noise. I think that's true in your individual home and my individual home, but I think also it's true in the church. I don't think that a church at rest is God's idea or intention. He doesn't want a church resting on its laurels. He wants a church marching forward like a mighty army and occupying till he comes, not occupying space, but occupying land, occupying the land of our adversary, making advances. The Bible says, Jesus said about the church that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. It sounds like us, that to me, that we're supposed to be going and we're supposed to be on the attack and we're supposed to be moving forward and we're supposed to be going in a different direction. And you know what? If we're not comfortable, come on, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's our 40th anniversary. I've told you this and we've mentioned it over and over, but I think we're at a very interesting and I think exciting but potentially dangerous time in our church's history. Are we going to relax upon our laurels and look back and be satisfied with what God has done, or are we going to look forward and say, what yet does God want to do in this place? And sometimes God comes into a church and he just stirs the nest up a little bit. And you know, we may panic at first and feel like that's a bad thing, but folks, let me just say this, it's not a bad thing. You know what? We need woke up every once in a while. All through the scriptures, we find in the epistles, there is this subject of awakening the church and awakening Christians in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And now that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And I think a lot of Christians have fallen asleep in this matter of holiness, fallen asleep when it comes to the matter of the near coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, church, wake up. Hey, Jesus is coming soon. Listen, let's not, I'll tell you what, preacher. You know that parable of the 10 virgins, and five of them had oil in their lamp, and five of them didn't have oil in their lamp. And I want to tell you this, I'm ready for the Lord's coming because I have oil in my lamp. You better read all of that parable. Because that parable just isn't just covering the idea that five were ready and five weren't. If you'll notice, in that parable we find this phrase, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And I think there's people that are genuinely born again, but you know what the problem is? The Church of Jesus Christ, come on now, the Church of Jesus Christ has fallen asleep. It's not time to sleep. Folks, we have an eternal rest waiting for us. There's going to be a time for all of that. We're not here, listen, we're not here to drift and dream. What we're here to do is accomplish the will of God and whatever that is in our life, and to be busy getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And here we see in Romans chapter 13 that we need to awake as far as to the near coming and the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we need to awake to righteousness. I'm afraid sometimes we've fallen asleep when it comes to this matter of holiness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. One of the things that's important for the church is that we stay clean and we stay right with God. You see, there's people that need the gospel, and you know what? They're not going to listen to us if we come across, if we appear to be hypocrites. We should not just avoid evil. We should avoid even the appearance of evil. Why? Because our testimony is at stake. Because we need to go and convince the world that there is a better way to live. How and why would they believe what we have to say if our lives mirror their sinful lives? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I won't belabor the point, but let me just say this. God at times will come and stir up the nest. Yes, sir. Are you awake this morning when it comes to the matter of Jesus is coming back soon? Are you awake when it comes to this matter of righteous living? Are you awake when it comes to this matter of walking circumspectly and redeeming the time and understanding the days are evil? It's not time for slumbering. It's not time for sleeping. It's time to be awake. And you know what? Our God, thank God for a God that sometimes stirs up the nest. I don't want God to let my life get too comfortable. Because you know what I'll do? I'll fall asleep at the wheel if I'm not careful. I want God to stir up the nest. Number two, God flutters over the young. God flutters over the young. I love this. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. As an eagle fluttereth over her young. And I want to just help the church this morning, remind the church that we have a great responsibility when it comes to discipling and caring and watching over our young people. And I mean that. We are blessed here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come on, look around, church. Now, you see some young people in our auditorium, but I want to remind you that the young people in our auditorium are the ones that are from fifth grade on up. There's an army of young people, fourth grade on down, that are in three different areas of our church, all of them being ministered to. The preaching of the Word of God is going on with those young people on their level so that they can understand it. Hey, let me tell you something. We can't back up. We can't lose the vision of being fully invested in the next generation. I want to take care of our young people. God fluttereth over the young. And that word fluttereth, if you look it up, it means to brood, to sit on, cover, as a fowl on her eggs for the purpose of warming them and hatching chickens, or as an hen over her chickens to warm them, cover them with their wings, cherish them, cover and warm them, dwell on them with, watch this, dwell on them with anxiety. Okay, the children ought to be able to relax and be kept in comfort. You know why? Because some of us aren't relaxed and aren't comfortable. You know what, folks? We need to walk. Listen, I mean this. We need to walk guard around the young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I take great offense. I mean this. I'm going to tell you something. You want to go to war with Pastor Jerry Ross? I'm going to tell you how to go to war. I feel like there's somebody trying to get into the lives of some of our young people and to cause them to turn away from God and backslide. I'm going to tell you something. You just declared war on me, and I just declared war on you. Bible said it's better, watch this, it's better for a millstone to be placed around your neck. And you cast in the seed, and it caused one of these young people to stumble. And I don't understand this. I don't understand this fake pseudo-Christianity. And some of the backslidden people that used to attend this church that now I've made it their life's mission to try to get young people out of church. You're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God and answer for that. You know what? You have taken yourself out of the umbrella of God's protection and put yourself in the bullseye of God's wrath. You know what? The young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, are precious. And they need to be watched over and guarded. Parents, are you on high alert? Have you fallen asleep? Are you on high alert? I mean, are you watching over them? Preacher, I know, but man, you know, they're getting to the age where they're complaining about the rules, and I just feel like, you know, wait a minute! Just because most of this nation's letting their kids go to hell in a handbasket don't mean that we need to. Now, don't you lighten off and don't you let off, because I promise you the devil has not gone to sleep. He's working as hard as ever to destroy the lives of young people. Mama, are you on alert? Are you brooding over the nest? Are you brooding over the nest, or are you working for the world? Are you brooding over the nest, or are you working for the world? The Bible instructs a lady that she ought to be a keeper at home. You know what? You're the Holy Spirit of the family. You know what we need to do? We need to have a revival of mothers that will decide the place I need to be is home with my children. Say, preacher, that's not real popular in this day and age. It may not be, but it's Bible. Okay, God didn't give you the children so a daycare could raise them. God gave you the children so that you could raise them. I mean that. We need to have a revival when it comes to just having mama's home with children. I know that there's some unfortunate circumstances. I realize some ladies are put in a situation where there is absolutely 100% no choice. I get that. I understand that. And I'm not here to beat you up. I'm just saying, folks, a lot of times the situation is thus. The lady wants to work so they can have a second income so they can have a few more toys. Or they can go to a restaurant a little bit more than they used to. Or, God forbid, watch this, we're losing our natural affection. She just doesn't really want to have to put up with the kids. Excuse me, folks. Excuse me. Let me say this. Your children are not a burden. Your children are a blessing. They're the heritage of the Lord. I mean, this is a little boy. I Never, I don't remember ever getting off the school bus and going to the front door where Mama wasn't waiting for me. Oh, well, yeah, but y'all didn't have much growing up. We had something that this culture don't understand. We have, listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. Hey, you know what? Listen, watch this. Why don't you flutter over the nest? Why don't you flutter over the young? Sunday school teachers, do you realize what a privilege it is to teach your Sunday school class? Do you really get that? I mean it, you really get that? You understand what a blessing it is? What a great and wonderful responsibility it is? Again, I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip that occasionally has to be gone a weekend, but man alive, that's your ministry. Brother Jesse's been running around looking for substitutes way too often. I mean it. I'm going to find some people at Bethel Baptist Church that want to teach the Sunday school class. They don't look at it as a burden. Doesn't look at it as a thing that they have to do and they can skip that on two or three times a month. I'm going to find some people that get it because these young people are worthy of your faithfulness. I understand everybody's going to go on vacation from time to time. I've never fussed at anybody for that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have a position at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you ought to lock in and be there at your station doing what you're supposed to do and love those kids enough to not only teach them the ways of the Lord, but show them through your life the ways of the Lord. Let's flutter over the young. See, God nourishes the young. He broods over them. He warms them. He provides for them. He protects them. God protects the young in age. And let me remind the church this. God protects the young in Christ. And I want to remind our church also that, you know what, even as children have to be protected and watched over, and there has to be patience and there has to be a growing process, that there also has to be that same heart towards people that are newly saved here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. God broods over the young. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Folks, listen, when we are saved, the Bible talks about being saved like being born again. And just as a baby started by drinking milk, you know what? A new Christian, they can't handle all the meat. They can't handle meat. There's not a mother in the world that would bring a baby home from a hospital and then cut big chunks of steak and begin to try to shove it into that baby's mouth. And let me just look at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. By the way, we have mature Christians here and we have good people that are living, I think, good, separated, holy lives. Listen to me. Let me remind you something. Please be patient with young converts. Well, listen, why don't you flutter over the nest a little bit? Why don't you just take extra care with them? Why don't you show extra patience with them? You know what? They're not going to get it all the first month. There's going to be a growing process. We got to be careful at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that we don't expect people to get saved and to be in 6 months where it's taken us 20 years to get. So, preacher, how can I help the young converts here? Here's how you can help them. Love them! Just love them. Just reach out to them. Just have them over your house to eat or go by their house and take them something. Just be a blessing to them. Okay, it's going to take a while. They're going to do some things and say some things. It's going to make you sometimes look and say, you know what? They're babes in Christ. That's all right. God flutters over the young. He stirs up the nets. He flutters over the young. Let me go to the third one. God, thank God he does this. He spreads his wings abroad. And I want you to listen to me because this is fascinating. And I think of all the things I learned from this study, this may have been the thing that helped me the most. And I think it needs to be said to this generation. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Watch this. Spreadeth abroad her wings. Now this word spread here, spreadeth, it means to break apart. Now think about that. It means to break apart or to separate or to disperse, to scatter, to spread about or to stretch forth. Now think about that, to break apart. So here are the young eaglet, the young babes there are they need brooding for a while. I mean, when they're first born, folks, listen to me, they just have they have no feathers. They have fuzz, but they don't have feathers. And you know what? If the mom, by the way, in the eagles, I think this is a wonderful thing. We could learn something from eagles. Human can learn something. Eagles, do you know eagles mate for life? They pick a partner and stay with them until one of them dies. And you know what? Dads, listen to me. Come on. We have responsibility with the children too. When those chicks are hatched and born, yes, the mother is the primary one that broods. But you know what? From time to time, dad comes and takes time to brood also and allows the female to go. Come on now, mothers. I'd say amen right now if I was you, okay? Good opportunity for you to jump in. Watch this. She doesn't do that primarily, but she does it occasionally. You know, she needs to spread her wings and fly too a little bit. And then she comes back and does her job. You know this, watch this concept. The primary hunter and provider for both the female eagle and the children is the male eagle until those young ones are old enough to hunt on their own and do on their own. Now listen to me, I'm going to everybody look right up here, and I'm going to try to, man, some things we have to say, Brother Tom, that ought to have been so, just common sense when we were growing up, okay? Watch this. Sir, it is your responsibility to provide for your family. It's not your wife's responsibility. It is your responsibility to provide for your children. Look right up here. It's not the government's responsibility. Okay? Roll up your sleeves and go to work. Get a job and go to work. Stop whining about it and go to work. Stop making up imaginary disorders and go to work. Okay, get off the drugs and get on the payroll. I want to teach you something here because this is not the primary teaching here. God spreads his wings abroad. You say, preacher, does he brood over the young? Yes, he does. Does he warm the young? Yes, he does. Does he provide every single morsel that goes in their mouth? Yes, he does. Does he do it for their entire life? No, he doesn't. As an eagle, you stir the nest up. Lord, there's people that are, 2013 was a nest stirring year. As an eagle, you flutter over the young. Thank you, dear God, for your tender care when we need it, and when we're not capable, when we're not able, Lord, how you protect us. Thank you for spreading forth your wings, Lord. You didn't want to keep baby Christians, and you want us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want us to grow up in our Christian life. And Lord, so sometimes you spread your wings abroad and make us learn to be a little bit independent so that we can better be dependent on you. Lord, thank you for those times, dear God. I think it's happening right now. I've watched people in our church the last 6 months. I have no doubt in my mind they've spent the majority of that time on your back. Lord, they don't have the strength to flap their wings. And yet you've come down and you've said, I've got you. I've got you. I'm gonna carry you during this time. I'm going to get you to over the hump. I'm going to get you from this valley to the next mountain peak, and I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to be there. God, thank you. Many times in my life, Lord, I heard the sound of eagle wings, and I knew, God, that you were there. And Lord, when I couldn't do it, you did it. Somehow you did it. When I cried out and said, God, I can't, you came down and said, I can. And you did. So, Lord, for those that are hurting, whose heart is hurting, I pray, dear God, that you'd help them to just rest upon the presence and the strength of an almighty, all-knowing God. Help them to get to the next mountain peak, Lord. Help them not to lose hope. Lord, if there be anyone here today that's not saved, I pray that they'd be saved today. They need a God that at times is as an eagle. They need that God in their life.